And welcome to the weekend. This is the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard with our anchor man, Paul Rasmussen. And Paul, as we get ready for this weekend, what do you think is top of mind on our audience's minds?
That's a good question, Larry. The weather's going to be nice. Probably a lot of people are thinking summer, baseball, cookouts.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, recreating, enjoying the nice weather, especially now that we have this hot weather out from like Northern California all the way through Texas.
Yeah, we've been pretty fortunate. It has been, 87 twice in May, and we hit 88 earlier in the week on Tuesday. And then all of a sudden, you have this cool, comfortable 61 right now headed into a summer weekend. And yeah, people are definitely thinking about summer and school. Some schools have ended. Some are ending today. And a few more are hanging on for a few more days or a week. And then everybody should be in their summer mode after that. Meanwhile, one story that I know is going to resonate is this young woman from Butler County who was doing an internship downtown. And in broad daylight, she was jumped by a woman and beaten and dragged into the street, and no one stepped in to help her.
Listen to what this is. Sophia Mansing.
There were a lot of people around that did nothing. That's the one thing that I'm actually mad about, is that nobody came to help me.
I'm really surprised to hear that, especially in this town, but it's not unusual. But broad daylight downtown, after they're trying to work so hard to rechange and reshape the image of the city. But when this happens, you kind of scratch your head.
Now, the police say that this person who did the attacking was arrested and charged with aggravated assault and disorderly conduct. And what I'm curious to know is, I have two questions. One, is this person suffering from mental health issues, number one? And number two, has this person been released again? Because if that's the case, look out.
Yeah, and that has been a ongoing and continuing challenge, because they're really trying to work hard to change that image. But it is what it is. When an incident like this happens, it does raise eyebrows and concerns for a lot of people. And on the lighter side...
Well, by the way, I want to just throw this in too about Sophia. She's recovering from both a concussion and a broken nose.
Yeah. Broad daylight. On the lighter side, this was, I think, of all the headlines I heard this week, this was my favorite.
First came spotted lanternflies, then cicadas, and now giant venomous spiders.
I had fun with that.
Oh, we all did, and it generated a lot of talk, a lot of stories about this J-O-R-O spider.
When you see it, you'll know it. It's totally different than any other spider, including the colors.
And it caught our attention earlier in the week because it is a spider that they said is venomous and is capable of shooting silk and creating a parachute that makes it fly.
Yeah, but, you know, we talked with
Chad Gore
at Ehrlich Pest Control, and here's what he had to say about this thing.
They're not really harmful to people, so there's really no worries about that.
So that kind of took the venom out of that story.
Still, they're creepy. You know, most people don't care for spiders.
And they're huge. Their legs are 4 inches long. So if you have, how many legs does a spider have, right?
Eight.
Acronid. And then thinking about it flying through the air and attaching itself to your jugular vein.
Here we go
neck.
Again.
A vampire.
You need to make your own little horror movie with insects or something.
Here's what I love about the story. In the end, they said they studied the spider's personality, and it's shy. I'm like, what is shy about a spider?
How can an insect have an emotional response to anything?
Exactly. Who determined that this little spider, or giant spider, is shy? You don't have to worry about that this weekend, by the way. They're not going to be here anytime soon.
They're expected in the New York and New Jersey area, and they've been waiting for them to arrive. And by the way,
those people need them.
Another expert on this, by the way, says that it is able, this spider, to inhabit most of the eastern U.S. So I guess that would include us at some point.
On your list of things to worry about this weekend, you can scratch that one.
Well, actually, you can probably put it on the insects to be concerned about right underneath the murder hornet. That turned out to be a nothing, big nothing burger.
And nothing burger. But as you had in the newscast, the Living Dead Festival is starting today, of all places, to Monroeville Mall.
And that's where they shot that famous scene with the bridge over the little fake creek or whatever, right?
Yeah, we have become, and have been for many years, the zombie capital of the world because of the original film Night of the Living Dead.
And then he did Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead.
At Monroeville Mall, right?
Yeah. Dead in our newsroom. Never made it to the big screen, but we've seen that here. And then Greg Nicotero, who's a Pittsburgh guy, became the executive producer of The Walking Dead. And that
he kind of inherited George Romero's...
Right.
Yeah.
And it all kind of goes through a guy named Tom Savini, who's a Bloomfield guy, right? In Pittsburgh's Little Italy. And Tom was the special effects guy. And in the original Night of the Living Dead, he's still around doing his thing. So we are the zombie capital of the planet.
Several years ago, I was out on a date, and we were tooling through the countryside where they filmed many of the scenes for Night of the Living Dead.
What, Don Harmony?
Oh, yeah. It was pretty spooky, actually.
And that's what people are talking about. You imagine somebody in bed right now, Paul, rolling over and going, what? The zombie capital of the world, right here in Pittsburgh. And Ryan Seacrest is taking over Wheel of Fortune. And just a footnote to Andy Masick's time capsule, Mr. Douglas, the great Herb Douglas, passed just this April. And what an honor to get to meet him and what he represents to so many people and the University of Pittsburgh. Big weekend ahead. We've got you covered. I'll tell you what, you want to hear just a little snippet of a rundown here? Mr. Rasmussen?
A snippet of a rundown.
Yeah. I worked with Aaron, our producer, tirelessly yesterday to put this show together. Okay? You kind of stole our thunder with the Living Dead. That's okay. We are the capital of the zombie. And let me see here, because I put a bunch of stuff. We have the beekeeper coming in.
Howard, we had a good chat with him. Yeah,
he is... his name is Howard Mincone, a very talented guy. He's a mime, but he talks.
So what do you want to talk about with him?
The bees. The bees are back in the news.
Good.
And he is a beekeeper. The Bantam Jeep Festival starts today down Cooper's Lake up in Butler County. One of the most amazing remotes I ever did. It happened to be Father's Day weekend. It was on a Friday morning. I went up there with our now brand manager, PJ Kamanchik, who was executive producing the show, in a dense fog, and we set up in one of those places like North Park, the shelters where they have the picnics. Couldn't see a thing. And then gradually, as the fog lifted through the morning, we broadcast from a picnic table at Cooper's Lake. All you could see were Jeeps. That came from all over the place.
Indispensable tool in winning the Second World War. Indispensable.
And developed in Butler County for World War II. The federal government basically put out a contest, and I believe there were 39 automobile manufacturers, and they said it's impossible. But not here. They did it in Butler. We also have Channing Powell, who's behind Made in PGH. She's going to stop by. We have Dr. Frank, the gadget guru, with some Father's Day gift tees ideas. That's next weekend already. Kelly from 100.7 Star is going to tell us about weekend entertainment. Did you know in Westmoreland County, they're getting ready, maybe 10,000 people, to see Elton Ron? who's a Elton John tribute singer.
Elton Ron.
Yeah. And we got a comedian, Harry Spears from the Improv's going to be in studio. Plus Joe Block. We got a lot going. We crammed it all in just for you so that you can enjoy something over the weekend. If you say, I got nothing to do. All right, it's National Donut Day. I saw the Salvation Army came in with the donuts yesterday. Did you see that?
Two big boxes.
Yeah, and who better to lead the celebration than a country rap star who's all tatted up?
Jelly Roll is revealing a family secret.
Y'all know growing up, donuts were truly my kryptonite. My mama used to tell me all the time that I was so sweet I could open up my own Dunkin'.
In a video that Jane's dropped to Instagram and TikTok, he says he has lots of ways to eat the sweet treats.
I call this the bunny duck. Bunny hop, bunny hop, bunny dunk.
And he's happy to spread the joy.
Sometimes I even like to share a bite with my dog. Ain't that right, Bussy?
Look for special merch and deals at your favorite donut place today. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
And Jelly Roll was here last year for the, where they have the 8-man jam on our country station, Y108. They get big stars, and they got Jelly Roll to come. And he loved Pittsburgh, but I didn't realize the depth of his story. It's actually incredible what he's overcome. And how many Grammys he won and how popular he is. But I guess that's where he got the nickname Jelly Roll.
There's no shortage of great places to get good donuts in Pittsburgh, that's for sure.
Now you're making me hungry. Where's Patrick O'Connor?
Oh, that's right. He's going to be bringing us some Oakmont this morning.
Oakmont Bakery, thanks to the Saray. Download the free Odyssey app. Take us with you wherever you go. AUDACY. We'll keep you posted on breaking news, weather, and a lot of good guests, and we appreciate the ability for you to rewind. It's like DVR for your audio on Odyssey, AUDACY. One story that caught a lot of people's attention this week, Paul, was the story of a woman claiming to be Sherry Mahan, the young girl who was kidnapped 29 years ago and killed, which is a heart-wrenching story in and of itself, but this is the third time.
Right, that's what I was going to say. This has got to be difficult.
That somebody has claimed to be her, and I don't know what their end game is in doing so, when in this day and age with the technology available, apparently the DNA didn't match, and that puts that family through.
That's what I'm talking about, yep.
Yeah, it just serves no purpose, and I just can't imagine why this obviously continues to happen. But
when I saw the pictures, there was a likeness. It was kind of a resemblance.
And what they did was they have this technology, and it's getting better all the time, of aging people, what somebody might look like from where they are at whatever age to where they will be or should look like now. And so that's not a true story. There is a story they're making into a film about this woman that got kidnapped, and she survived, right? Do you remember this?
Yeah, I do remember this, and it was one of the first stories I was involved in covering when I moved to Pittsburgh.
And now it's going to be a film, a feature film, and about the ordeal. And especially now with social media and the way people can reach out to strangers and people respond to strangers, we've heard these stories, you know, repeatedly where someone meets up with somebody else and they're not who they said they were. And, you know, that's a dangerous world. Hunter Biden. The part of this story, he's on trial in Delaware on charges that he lied on a federal form about obtaining a firearm. You probably have heard about it. But inside of this story is the fact that at one point he was romantically involved with the widow of his brother, which, again, sounds like a movie script that no one would believe. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
A star witness in a potentially pivotal piece of video evidence at the trial of President Biden's son, Hunter. Hallie Biden, the widow of Hunter's brother, Beau, testified surveillance video shows her throwing away her brother-in-law's gun in a Delaware grocery store parking lot on October 23, 2018. Just 11 days after Hunter Biden bought the gun, and just after Hallie Biden said she found it in Hunter Biden's car along with drug residue and drug paraphernalia. Hallie testified, "I didn't want him to hurt himself or the kids to find it and hurt themselves. I was panicking." Prosecutors are trying to prove Hunter Biden was addicted or using drugs at the time he bought the gun, lying on this federal gun application.
Prosecutors will tell you the physical evidence doesn't lie. And this is about as powerful physical evidence as you can get linking his possession of that gun to his use of illegal drugs.
Hallie Biden also described taking up a romantic relationship with her brother-in-law about a year after her late husband, Beau Biden's 2015 death, telling the jury it was also Hunter Biden who introduced her to using crack cocaine, calling her drug use a terrible experience. "I'm embarrassed and ashamed." Prosecutors showed Hallie Biden the gun and images of the satchel in which she found and discarded it. But Hunter Biden's attorney, Abby Lowell, tried to show Hallie Biden didn't actually know what Hunter was doing the week he bought the gun. "You don't know if he was drinking, using, or either of the above?" Lowell asked. "I don't know," she responded. Hunter Biden faces the prospect of a prison term if convicted of these three federal charges. In an interview, President Biden ruled out a future pardon for his son. Scott McFarland, CBS News, Wilmington, Delaware.
And Larry, the question is what would a typical suspect who's facing these charges and is found guilty, what would that person be sentenced to? That's a good question, I think. And one thing that has kind of gotten lost in the shuffle here that I think is important is the laptop. The laptop was used as evidence in this trial. The laptop that people said didn't exist and it was Russian disinformation and the rest, that turned out to be a pretty big nest of deception and misinformation, I guess, would be the thing that I was most concerned about with the laptop. And the reason why I'm talking about it is the New York Post was the first to report on the existence of this laptop and some possibly incriminating evidence about Hunter Biden on it. Okay, whatever that might be is irrelevant to me. This is what's relevant. Social media canceled the New York Post, especially on Twitter. They basically made it very difficult to find that information, and then the lies started coming out. And I just want to repeat, that laptop is not Russian disinformation. It did exist, and there's a concern about free speech rights here, and there's also a concern about censorship that, you know, I never thought I'd be talking about these two things as a journalist toward the end of my career, but here we are.
And we had Rudy Giuliani on this program saying he had possession of that laptop. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and I didn't believe it when I heard it, by the way.
Apparently he didn't have it, but it did exist.
It did
exist.
That's
what's bizarre. And then later that same day, we had Rudy Giuliani on this show.
Amazing.
A video came out of him with that Borat guy. Oh, remember?
Yes, I know.
And then...
how humiliating.
They canceled him out.
Yep.
And so, who knows, that hopefully... by the way, the big difference in a federal trial and a state trial, as I understand from experts, and I'm not one in legal matters, certainly, is that if you're convicted in a federal court, the likelihood of some jail sentence or time is much higher than you would be in a state court for nonviolent crimes.
And again, I'm interested in finding out what is the typical person who is convicted of lying on this form about drug use,
right,
when they're applying for a gun on this application or permit.
What happens to
the typical person when they're sentenced? I'd love to know that.
Joe Biden says if his son is convicted, he won't pardon him, which he would have the power to do in a federal situation.
And I think that it's fair to say that this is newsworthy because, like we had just a short time ago, the first president to face criminal charges like this. This is the first presidential son or daughter who's been brought to court on federal charges of
this kind.
While
in office.
Right.
Sitting president.
Yep.
And former President Donald Trump is back on the campaign trail. CBS's political correspondent, Caitlin Huey-Byrne, says He took his concerns about immigration straight to the voters in Arizona. It's a state where he actually lost 4 years ago, by roughly just 10,000 votes. But now everyone's wondering who will be his running mate.
The race to be Trump's running mate is also heating up. Several contenders have already received official vetting documents. And some of those top prospects include Governor Doug Burgum, along with Senators Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, and J.D. Vance, who was traveling with Trump here in Arizona.
And curious if this will happen before the Republican National Convention, which is scheduled days after July 11th, which is the sentencing date set in the New York tribe, which nobody thinks that date will hold.
I think that he told Sean Hannity in a recent interview, maybe within the last couple of days, that he had plans to make the announcement shortly before the convention.
So we'll see. Who will it be?
Which, I have to say, if I were in Trump's shoes, I would wait until the convention.
Because, why not?
Yeah, because that's probably the only news that's going to come out of the convention.
Yeah, there's no mystery either way who are the candidates. So
I mean, the way things stand right now, anything can happen.
I'll tell you who it won't be. Mike Pence.
Oh, yes.
Who's...
He broke with Trump on January 6th.
It will not be Mike Pence, who turned 65 today. By the way, we're going to check on the AccuWeather forecast here in just a second. But first, PJ Fitzpatrick, Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA Traffic powered by Bowser and Genesis in Monroeville now open. Let's get an update on the morning commute with Heather Zambito.
Good morning. Parkway West inbound stacking up just over the top of Green Tree Hill. The outbound side still clear. Parkway East inbound slowing at Edgewood-Swissville. No issues on the Parkway North. 28 and 51 both have a little bit of stop-and-go traffic, but mostly up to speed. And in Dravosburg, crews are on the scene of a vehicle that crashed into a building on Raymond Avenue between Mound Avenue and Locust Street. With AAA Traffic on the Fives, I'm Heather Zambito on the Voice of Pittsburgh, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
And let's check in with AccuWeather. Get an idea of what's going on for the weekend. Good morning.
Heather's air here with you. How you doing?
I'm good. Heather, good to have you with us this morning. And all ears are on you. We want to know about our weekend weather. We got a lot going on in town.
And it doesn't look like the weather's really going to cause too many problems. Now, we do have some showers that are going to be around for this afternoon and evening. We had some around for the early morning hours, so early folks who were heading out on the roads might run into some wet roadways. But that'll dry out pretty quickly before we pick up a couple of additional showers for this afternoon and evening. Otherwise, really pretty comfortable. A bit on the breezy side, high about 73 degrees. We'll have some sunshine as well. The average high for today is 76. So 73, just a touch on the cool side. And that kind of translates into tonight as well as we drop down into the mid-50s. Tomorrow, though, I think a dry day. Partly sunny skies. It'll be breezy. Much of the time is really probably pretty sunny. I suspect that we're going to be looking for long stretches of sunshine, especially through the midday hours. And then as we head into Sunday, there is a chance of a shower. Our best chance may be during the morning hours. We have a front slipping through the area that can bring us a shower. It's possible that something could hang on into the afternoon, especially if you're headed up toward Lake Erie. And I think by the time you get north of I-80, you're probably running into some better chances of showers. And that's going to be pretty much the case all the way along the Lake Erie shoreline, from all the way back around Toledo, all the way up to Buffalo. So if you're headed in that direction this weekend, you may be running into that. But here in Pittsburgh, I think mostly dry, partly sunny and cool, about 72 for a high. So yeah, nice weather overall this weekend.
Ideal weather, Heather, compared with the people suffering under that heat dome from Texas all the way back to California.
Wow.
Some crazy heat off in that direction. We are looking at highs well up into the 90s. Say Houston yesterday was 96 degrees. Normally they'd be right around 90, so it's not way far above normal, but it is definitely on the hotter side. But then you have places like Fresno, California, there in the Central Valley of California. They topped out at 107 yesterday, and that's about 20 degrees above their average. Palm Springs was 112, and that's even for them pretty hot for this time of year. They're usually closer to 100, so lots and lots of heat out there throughout the southwest and the south central part of the country.
Yeah, and they opened 9 cooling stations in Las Vegas, so they're smoking hot there. Heather, yeah. We appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks, you too.
And coming up, a chance for you to win tickets to see Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind & Fire next. Coming to PPG Paints Arena next Sunday, Father's Day, Lionel Richie with Earth, Wind, and Fire, and we want to send you there. Let's see, pick a number, Paul.
8.
Caller number 8, 412-922-1020, 412-922-1020. Caller number 8 will make you a winner. Have you seen Earth, Wind, and Fire or Lionel Richie at any point in your illustrious career?
No, not in person, but I played the heck out of all their records.
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day.
For me, Earth, Wind, and Fire, they're like their own musical genre.
In fact, I was watching a YouTube video of a young woman who does bassline covers videos, and she did a whole bunch of them for Earth, Wind, and Fire, and this was one of them yesterday.
And you know who loves Earth, Wind, and Fire? He's like crazy.
Paul Zeiss.
And people have asked, hey, where's Paul Zeiss? Because he was working with us for a while, middays. He's working sport. He's a sports guy.
Yeah, he's been hanging out with Joe Starkey. And speaking of hanging out, Paul was posting overnight on X. We follow each other on social media. Smoking his cigars over there at that five-alarm marathon they've been doing to raise money for volunteer firefighters. And it's what a great cause.
And we salute all our volunteer fire department members. We need you, and you're appreciated. It's a good show. I'd love to go see that show myself.
Yeah, I'm jealous of Pat Septak's going to go, our editor.
Not to be confused with Pat Sajak, who's retiring tonight. Pat Septak, not Sajak.
Yeah, I've got a nice story about that coming up.